much longer before we get there, Perth?
Oh, don't keep on, Harmelia. It's about the 20th time you've asked.
Well, we've been on the same holiday every year for the past 10 years. It's never taken as long as this.
No, it do seem to be dragging a bit, doesn't it? Oh, well, we're coming in the arbour now, dear.
Here, Perth, take a closer look. Oh. Are you sure we didn't get on the wrong boat?
Of course not. You don't think I... Here, wait a minute. This don't look like the Isle of Wight to me.
Well, that was an excerpt from Ferry to Hong Kong. Another in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those who may be under par, why not tell your father to get up? And then I'm afraid we'll give you some idea of what to expect from a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are General Sir Gertrude Fanshawe, Marion Haste, the House of Lords Banjo Octet, Miss Claudine Caterpillar.
She's got a nice pair of legs, pair of legs, pair of legs.
To continue, Dizzy Barbirolli, Nina and Fred Winterbottom, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken. Now, first of all, I have a special message for Mrs. Bailey. Bill says he'll be coming home soon. Well, now, tonight I was going to talk to you about the mating habits of the lesser-spotted nighthawk, but I decided against it when I had a closer look at the mating habits of the lesser-spotted nighthawk. So instead, let me tell you some of the things that happened last week. On Monday, I bumped into a friend of mine who was looking utterly miserable. Apparently, his wife had refused to speak to him for a month, and this was the last day. Tuesday was a day of surprises. In the morning, somebody gave me something worth 10 shillings. It was a pound note, actually. And in the afternoon, I ran into an old schoolgirl friend of mine, Jennifer Poopworthy. She's grown up into a... Well, she's highly glamorous, and she's not really... Well, in fact, I'd say she's... Let me put it this way. She's the sort of girl you'd like to be with you if your wife walked in unexpectedly. Anyway, she's quite good fun, and on Wednesday we went to the pictures together. It was quite a small cinema, holds about 50 people, 80 if they're friendly. And we saw one of those new horror films. Now, Jennifer said she loved those great big monsters with groping tentacles, but I'm afraid I disappointed her. About halfway through, I felt a cold, chilling sensation in my spine. It wasn't the film. Somebody had dropped a chock-ass down my back. In fact, these modern horror pictures don't really affect me at all. Not like those terrifying old stories of fantasy and mystery. The great classics of horror, like, for instance, this one.
We present Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or We're Just Good Fiends.
In our opinion, what follows is not suitable for people of any disposition. If there happen to be children listening, may we suggest they send their parents to bed.
Victorian London, a London of handsome cabs and ugly furniture. A London of gaslight and Fanny. London of elegant gentlemen with frock coats and silver canes, and elegant ladies in gay frills and furbelows, most of them being furbelow where they should be. A London of cobblestone streets and fog. Yes, this is the scene in which our story is set.
My name is immaterial, Sir James. Actually, it's Sir James immaterial. Medicine played a great part in my life. That's twice daily after meals. One of my closest friends was the famous physician Dr. Henry Jekyll, on whom I would frequently call.
Hi, Sir James.
Oh, evening, Poole. How's the master?
Well, if I may say so, he's been acting a bit strangely lately. It's just that, well, I seem to sense there's something funny going on. I don't know what it is, although I know it's not this week's script. Perhaps the doctor's assistant can help. Here comes Miss Carter now.
No, so you're here, Sir James. I'm glad.
Hello, glad.
No. The name's Millicent.
Oh, yes.
You see what I mean about the script, sir?
Yes.
All right, Poole, that'll be all. Sir James, I must talk to you. I'm very worried about the doctor.
You mean you think he ought to see a doctor?
No, but, well, there's something you should know.
What?
He's been locked in the laboratory from Monday to Saturday.
Is he alone?
No. I've heard another voice in there. Please, Sir James, what's going on?
Well, we'll soon find out. Henry! Henry, it's me, James.
Go away!
Henry, I insist on seeing you.
Oh, very well. Come in.
It's very strange. All he said to me was he wasn't to be disturbed under any circumstances. I can't understand it.
I can. Guess who's in there? It's Jill Day.
Romance, while my heart is young and eager to fly, I'll give romance a try. I'll take romance. I'll take romance while my arms are young and eager for you. I'll give my arms a cue. I'll take romance. So my lover, if you want me, call me in the hush of the evening. To my first feel romance while my heart is young and eager and gay. I'll give my heart away. I'll take romance. I'm taking a chance while my heart is gay. It must be romance. It carries me away. I'm telling you true. To my first real romance. While my heart is young and eager and gay, I'll give my heart away. I'll take romance. I'll take a chance. I'll take romance. I'll take a chance. While my heart is fancy free, I'll take romance.
Jarl in Ice Jill.
Well, James, it's good to see you.
Miss Carter and I were worried about you. Now, Henry, what's going on? What are all those beakers of foaming liquids?
Ah, these, yes. Well, you've arrived at a crucial moment. I have been working on the most fantastic experiment science has ever known.
What is it?
Well, it's a sort of do-it-yourself monster kit.
A what?
Well, let me explain. Now, you both know me as a good, honest, respectable person. A man of honor and decency, right?
Well, there was that evening when you...
Never mind. Well, then, suppose I told you that I could unleash the forces of evil that are within me. evil that is within us all.
Yes. Deep down in the dark recesses of ourselves, there lurks another person. The person of wickedness, suppressed desire, and passion.
Oh, Sir James, I told you he was acting strangely.
He's acting downright badly, if you're...
Yes, what would you say if I could actually create that inner monster, bring out the beast in me? What would you say,
What are you waiting for?
I need Poole to help me in this experiment.
You rang, sir?
Yes. The bells are ringing for me and my goo. Here, Poole. Two beakers of steaming hot liquid. In one there is cocoa, and in the other, an evil, poisonous brew of my own concoction. Tell me which is which.
Very good, sir. I'll drink this one.
He never did like cocoa.
Now, this is the other beaker. I mix it in the vat with another concoction. I stir. See how it bubbles. I add some of this, and this, and this. And there it is, all ready to take.
You're a real little Fanny Craddock, aren't you?
Now, you shall see the complete transformation from good to evil.
No, Dr. Jekyll, don't. It might be dangerous.
I must, Millicent. But don't worry. In that beaker there is the antidote, the drug potion that will change me back to normal. Well, here goes.
Good heavens, look at his hands. They've become great hairy paws.
Oh, the face! The face! Sir James, look at his face! Ah, it's horrible!
Are you all right?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you? Honestly, I thought I'd never appear.
It's fantastic.
I know. I thought I was going to be left out altogether this week.
What happened to you, Dr. Jekyll?
Dr. Jekyll? No. I'm Mr. Hyde.
Who?
Mr. Hyde. I'm the famous Mr. Hyde. I had a park named after me.
Oh, you're a hideous monster.
No, don't be like that. Besides, Millie, I like you. Yeah, give us a kiss.
Oh, you filthy beast. Oh, please, I need a drink.
Shall I pour you a little?
Keep your hands off me.
Yes, stay back, Hyde, you evil creature.
Yeah, that's right. I'm evil. I'm wicked. I want to do fiendish, devilish things. I know what I'm going to do.
What?
I'm going to rush in the BBC and shout, RTA.
Oh, control yourself, Hyde.
Now, come on. Let's all go out the West End and stick wine gums in the parking meter.
Mr. Hyde,
yes?
Come here. Mm. I can see you're quite intelligent.
Oh, yes, I'm not just a pretty face.
Here, why not have a drink with us?
Mm. Yes, oh. Yes, have a drink, Mr. Hyde. This one.
Oh, thanks.
That's it. Now, drink up and you'll feel like a different person.
Okay, well, bottoms up. Here. What's happening?
Well, the antidote. It's working.
Oh, no, Tom isn't about. I'm going.
He's gone.
Dr. Jekyll, you're back.
What's the matter with it?
It's incredible, Henry. Your experiment worked. But it's vile. You must destroy the potion.
Yes, I suppose you're right, James. I don't want to go through that again.
Here is the beaker. There. Your evil self is destroyed.
Well, it's better out of my system. Sometimes, James, it's good to let your hair down.
Well, I wouldn't know about that.
Anyway, it was a foolish idea. I thought I might...
Doctor, what is it?
I'm going again.
Really, what a changeable person you are.
Now, this is serious, Millicent. It means the evil is taking control now without the potion.
Come on, move over. I'll be in the old show. It's my turn again. Go on, get out of it, you old goody.
No, you don't, you evil swine. It's you that's going. Ooh.
Millie, do you see what's happening?
Yes, Williams and Paddock fighting over their parts again.
No, it's a battle of good and evil. They're both struggling for supremacy.
I'm going to take you over.
No, you're not. I'm going to take you over.
Sounds like Cotton and Claw, doesn't it? It's no good. They're not getting anywhere.
Wait, I've got an idea. Where are those chemicals?
Millicent, what are you doing?
You'll see. I say you two, stop. Here, Dr. Jekyll, drink this.
All right.
Mr. Hyde, here, you drink this.
Millicent, what have you done?
Another transformation is about to take place. Come on. Drink up, gentlemen.
Cheers, Dr. Jekyll.
Cheers, Mr. Hyde.
Good heavens, it's incredible.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles.
Now let's take four songbirds and change them into the Fraser Hayes Four.
There was an old dog and he lived at the mill, and Bingo was his name, sir. B-I-N-G-O. Banger and bopper and kicker and copper, and Bingo was his name, sir.
You sing banger and I'll sing bopper, and you sing kicker and I'll sing copper.
Banger and bopper and kicker and copper, and Bingo was his name, sir.
You sing banger and I'll sing bopper, and you sing kicker and I'll sing copper.
Banger and bopper and kicker and copper, and Bingo was his name, sir.
The miller, he bought him a barrel of ale and called it right for Tingo.
T-I-N-G-O. Banger and bopper and kicker and copper, and Tingo was his name, sir.
You sing banger and I'll sing bopper, and you sing kicker and I'll sing copper.
Banger and bopper and kicker and copper, and Tingo was his name, sir. The miller, he went to town one day and bought a wedding ring, oh.
And where'd you think he got the dough?
He won it playing Bingo. Kelly's eye to top of the shop. Bingo is the game, sir.
All the sixes clickety click. Was she worth it? 7 and 6.
House.
Bingo is the game, sir. Now is this not a pretty tale? I'll say it is by Jingo. J-I-N-G-O. Bang her and bop her and kick her and cop her. Say it is.
Bingo. You say banger and I'll say
bopper. You say kicker and I say copper.
Banger and bopper and kicker and copper and
Bingo.
Tingo.
Ringo.
Jingo. Say it is by Jingo.
And so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week we present a close-up on sport. Do most people in Britain play the game?
And if so, do they have any time for sport? Well, now, first of all, let's talk to one of our most celebrated boxers. It's Stanley Birkinshaw, isn't it?
That is so, yes.
Well, in the profession, I'm known as Basher Birkinshaw, successful in some 60-odd barts, and proud possessor of the Lonsdale belt.
Congratulations. Now, tell us about your last fight.
The 16-round championship promoted by Solomon's, in which I cross-gloved with Percy Standish, the Samson of Sussex. I got him in the sixth round.
Oh, good. Tell us how it happened.
Pleasure, yes. After a certain amount of sighting up, he struck out a series of forcible blows, which stung me considerably. I was absolutely furious, so I let him have it in the face.
And that was the finish?
Yes, his seconds was forced to throw in the towel.
Yes, that's an idea. I must bring one along with me next week. Well, now, every year some of our sturdier citizens set out on that most challenging adventure, swimming the Channel. And we're delighted to have with us tonight a Channel swimmer. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Very nice of you to ask me up here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, sir. Now, sir, obviously no one is too old for this game. When did you first start swimming the Channel?
Well, it's not 35 years ago. I think you know, sir.
No.
I made my first attempt last year.
Oh, that's remarkable. Yeah. Remarkable. Tell us about it.
Well, sir, I was on the beach at Cap Grisnez. I was covered from head to foot in margarine. I entered the water and I started swimming against the strong currents, and you know how long I was in the water.
I've no idea.
35 hours.
How long?
35 hours. And all wasted. My attempt was unsuccessful.
Oh, I am sorry to hear that. What's happened? What actually happened?
Yes, it was, I'll tell you so, it was most distressing. I was within a few hundred yards of Folkestone, and I could see the beach was full of people, all waiting to welcome me. Thousands of them was there, just a few hundred yards, and I had to turn back.
Oh, why was that?
I forgot to put my costume on.
Finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Hornorama who are ready to discuss a random question on this week's topic. Top of the table, a newcomer for this week, our honoured guest, ex-Brigadier General Sir Farquharson Golightly.
Hello.
Thank you, sir. Next, our lovable old rogue from the Emerald Isle.
There was he indeed, you feeling?
All right, all right. No need for that.
Why not? I'm a Limerick man.
Next, we welcome once again the Queen of the Kitchen, Fanny Haddock. Oh.
Excuse my hands, as I've just been searching through a cucumber salad. Johnny dropped his monocle into it.
And finally, our gentleman farmer with the nicely manured fingernails, Arthur Fallowfield.
Well, this morning I took a stroll past the old windmill, and I stopped for a moment to have a peep at the photographs outside.
Well, now, that's our panel, and so to this week's question on sport, which comes from...
Nigel Troopers, what does the team feel is the way to better, brighter cricket?
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much indeed. Well, now, a tool. What's the way to brighter cricket?
Belt the umpire with a bat. That's the way to liven things up. Shout rude things at a bowler. Start a fight. Never mind getting the batsman out. Get the empties out. Bring the crowds in.
That's definitely not cricket at all. Now then, Fanny Haddock.
But it's no good asking me. You see, I don't know anything about cricket.
Well, then shut your cake hole.
Absolutely unbelievable. Really, what a very, very rude man. How would you like a raspberry souffle right in your mush?
Well,
none of it's one of yours.
Thank you. All right, now.
Let's have a bit of order.
A pint of black and tan.
Now, sir. Sir Farquharson, go lightly. Brighter cricket.
Yes. Well, we must be more aggressive. Attack. Attack. Constantly attack. Surprise the enemy with waves of fast bowlers. Knock them for six. Hurl everything you've got at them. Everything. Bring in the fielders at close quarters. Surround the batsman. Harry him. Break his morale. And when two teams are fighting for supremacy, there should be no holds barred. Absolutely no holds barred at all. I'm all for the bowlers whapping up the pitch of it. Dig up that vital spot outside the off stump. Dig it up. Keep putting your foot in it.
Yes, good advice coming from you.
All right now.
Fallowfield, now then, what's your suggestion for better, brighter cricket?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. I mean, when you've got a dirty great ridge outside your off stump, well, then you're in trouble. I mean, one loose ball hitting that ridge will fly in and whip off your bales before you can say, John, up. Sure, I mean, I don't want to boast, but, you know, you've got to come to the country for a really good pitch. I mean, you take our village green. Now, she's a real beauty. Lovely bit of land owned by Lady Trentwater. And believe me, she's a perfect old pitch.
Now then, anybody else like to say anything?
Yes, I would. Tonight I'm having one of my famous little dinner parties, you know. I'm doing bangers and mash cooked in parsley, pepper and pimentos, chopped up and simmered in Marsala wine and pineapple juice. Now, who'd like to come back with me and have dinner?
Well, I would for one. Now, what about you, Sir Golightly?
Very good idea. Very good indeed.
A tool?
Oh, that's a great idea. Hope you got plenty of booze in, Mrs.
Fallowfield.
No, I'm afraid I can't. I've a previous engagement.
Oh.
Yes, I make no bones about it. I'm looking for someone to love.
Would you mind?
All right. We are indeed, yes. Now, that brings our discussion to a close for this week. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be hairdressing. Is it a dying trade? Also in next week's program, we shall be explaining some of the jokes in this week's program. And we shall be bringing you an excerpt from the Yiddish theater production of the Schnorrer's Opera. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought which comes from a listener in Herefordshire. Would a thin mouse be a narrow squeak? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Jill Day, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Merriman wrote the script, and the show is produced by Jakes Brown.